Chapter 14. Dawn brushed her rosy fingers across the sky. The dark clouds of the night before were gone, leaving only wisps like whipped cream smeared across the sky. Zell's groggy eyes opened the merest crack, but the light was too much. He closed them again, happy just to know that he could, for this was a Saturday. Gramps would be wanting his breakfast soon, but he could postpone getting up to fix it until he was being yelled at. Why wasn't he being yelled at? Suddenly, the awkward feeling that this wasn't his own bed hit him like a boulder. Both eyes flew open and were met with the phantasmagorical visage of Amelia's sleeping, quietly drooling face an arm's length away. And so ended that wonderful, dreamy, half-awake state he'd been drifting in and out of, now crashing and burning in a very strangled yelp. Strangled though it was, it awoke Val, Lena, Sylphiel, and Amelia herself. Gowrie, used to all manner of noise from living with his pack of siblings, slept happily through it. Zelos and Philia were not there. Val muttered a string of curses, swung a fist randomly, and burrowed himself deeper in his blanket. "Gods, Zell, you moron, I'll kill you," Lena moaned. "What the hell is wrong with you?" She looked like a small red bear, roused prematurely from hibernation and ready to maul the culprit. When she found Zell, paralyzed with fear and staring at the ceiling unblinking, the rusty gears began to creak in her head. "You fell asleep in the middle of Zelos' story last night, and no one disturbed you." She carefully omitted certain incriminating details. "So relax, you idiot. No one took advantage of you." She then rolled over and emitted a long, low moan that tapered into a bear-like growl.
"I had the most horrible nightmare,"
Sylphiel cried. Zell had just lived his.
Shove it!
Lena and Val harmonized. Amelia did not exist. She had instantly slipped under her blanket, becoming an invisible, quivering blob of embarrassment.
"If I never come out again, I'll still die of shame," her poor little mind assured itself.
There was a noise outside the practice room. "That's right. Hold this door for me." "Thanks, Philia," whispered Zelos. He was struggling with a huge pink box from Polly's pastries and pies, and tipsy mugs, plates, spoons, and napkins clinking on top.
"Sure thing. I'd like to get the tea going. Where's your teapot?"
"You have a teapot, don't you?" Philia asked. "Not really, but I can go get one. What else do you need?" he asked in a hushed voice. He set down the box and disappeared out the door again. 3 minutes later, he returned with the requested items, a sack full of dried clothes, and a serious look on his face.
"Something the matter, Zelos?" Philia asked unconcernedly.
He shook his head and plastered on his smile. "Perhaps I'm just not used to you being so nice to me."
"Humph! It's no big deal, you know," she sniffed.
It was to him, though. While Philia completed her tea-making, he started coffee, put the milk away, and began folding the clothes.
"Now what are you doing?" asked Philia stiffly.
"Folding Lena, Gowrie, and Zell's clothes so they can take them home or change back into them before they go," he answered brightly. "Ah, methinks I hear stirrings from yonder fun-makers."
"Zelos, you are so weird. You know that, don't you?"
Philia said, as a statement, not a question, to his receding back.
"Breakfast call, everyone," he chortled. "Your carriage departs in half an hour. So unless you want to stay here longer, it's time to rise and..."
"Shut up," shouted Val. "Everyone's moving. And don't be so cheerful so early. Lena, you'd better give Gowrie another kick. Mine don't seem to be getting through.
Lena, whisper those sweet nothings in his ear.
Food, 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 giggled Zelos. You're awfully chipper this morning. What's that? Food?
Lena's interest was aroused now.
Yes. Now, what would you like? There's coffee, tea, or...
Zelos began. Zell shook his head and mumbled, Please don't say it. Please don't say me.
Milk. And fresh Danish bear claws? Donuts?
Zell was pouring himself a mug of coffee.
Toast. Dry.
No, but I have something else over here, Zelos said in a lowered voice and tugging at Zell's shirt.
What is it?
Said Zell, his irritation level rising. We need to talk. Outside. Quickly. Whispered Zelos conspiratorially.
Zell sighed. This had better be important.
Then followed Zelos out the door. Zelos looked first at the main house, then stepped out of sight of the windows. His expression silenced Zell.
When I went to get some breakfast things this morning, I went into the kitchen and...
He swallowed.
And, prompted Zell,
your grandfather spent the night here. He was having coffee and scones with Zelos. She never gets up on a Saturday morning before noon, that I've noticed, before this. Of course, he may have driven himself over.
He's blind. Of course he didn't drive. How did he get here then? Why?
Zell was flustered, but not as much as Zelos.
I know. I barged in, and they laughed and greeted me like this happens every day.
Then Zelos told me that Phil came over last night, bringing your grandfather, to check on Amelia. Apparently the phone started working because he called everyone's guardians to let them know we were all right. She told me to tell all of you to be ready for pickup at 11, sharp.
Zell was thinking things over.
So why didn't he go home too?
Zelos smirked. Why do you think? I told you she was awful.
Zell gave his friend a dark look.
He probably stayed in the guest room, and your mother is just being a kind hostess.
In her bathrobe, do you think? Zelos frowned. Zell began making some wheezing noises when Lena popped her head out.
Hey guys, is this a private conversation, or can anyone join in? Gah! Zelos, what did you do to the poor guy this time? Zell, you're spilling your coffee!
Gowrie and Lena happily changed back into their dried clothes from yesterday.
Thanks, Zelos, for the clothes and stuff, said Gowrie politely. So where did you find clothes big enough to fit me? Just wondering.
You're welcome. They were stepdad number two's. He was pretty tall. I kept a few of his things in my old room in the house. No problem, really. The boy smiled and appeared not to be bothered by anything. Zell was too shocked to notice his old clothes, minus the stained shirt, had been stuffed into his fencing bag, or that he was still wearing Zelos's old ones.
This isn't happening to me. He's not in there. My grandfather is at home. He's not visiting with Zelos's mother.
Zell, what is your problem? Phil's here and everyone's already in the van, Lena admonished. But seeing that he was unresponsive, Lena simply picked up his bags, and not the fender, and carried them out to the van.
Gowrie, do me a favor and get Zell moving, all right?
Sure, Lena, he agreed.
While Gowrie and Zell were bonding, Philia and Silphiel were chatting about the upcoming football game. Since Philia was staying over at Amelia's one more day, Amelia decided to watch the girls lead the cheer squad. Val had work to do at the music repair shop, so declined. Lena said she'd think about it. When Zell made it into the van, it was settled. No band practice this weekend, or Monday. On Monday, the play tryouts would take precedence. Rezzo was in conversation with Phil in the front seats. Zelos wisely remained indoors, out of sight. Zelos waved goodbye to his friends, satisfied with his first party and overnight. Even his mother's antics couldn't mar that. Monday morning announcements included reduced hours schedule for the next week's fall holiday. No classes Thursday and Friday. Play tryouts this afternoon. The Archery Club's bake-off fundraiser would take place Friday before and after school. As a further reminder, there would be no sports events next week due to the holiday. Zell watched Lena throw her body at her desk for composition class. "Mornings will be banned in the future when I rule the world," she growled to her longtime friend. "Mark my words." Zell reached over and scratched a giant Z across her notebook. "Consider them marked," he smirked. Lena's eyes smoldered revenge. In one swift movement, she grabbed his pocket schedule and flung it out the door, where it disappeared into a sea of students. Zell gasped, muttered something nasty, and shot out the door in desperation. The bell rang. He stomped back to his seat, without the schedule planner, planning his retaliation, when he noticed his pocket schedule fanning the air in front of his face. "Lose this?" asked the purple-haired kid with the goofy grin. Zell ripped the planner out of the other boy's hand without a word of thanks, and settled into his chair. "Oh, joyous Monday." "Okay, the front office is getting on my case for neglecting the roll call, so we'll be wasting 15 minutes on that this morning," the teacher sighed. "Ursula Applegate? Here. Ken Amano? Yo. Oh, Ken, I was wrong. You'll have to return the other one." "Sure." That was confusing, but whatever mystery was going on would have to remain so. Roll call went on and on. "Zell Goddess Grey Words?" "Here," he lamented. "Kagome Higurashi?" "Present." "Lena Inverse?" "Yep." And on and on. "Kaoru Kamiya?" "Here." "Robin Kaplan?" "I am here." "That's nice. Kodachi Kuno?" And on and on. "Shiro Ryujoji?" "Present." And on and on. "Philia, how do you pronounce that?" "Ulkopt." "You're here." And on and on. "Zelos?" "Zelos, I know you're here."
"Then why did you call my name?" he smiled.
"You call that a name?" some obnoxious brat uttered. "That's like half a name of an alien or something."
From the teacher.
"What do you say to something like that?" Lena wondered aloud.
"Nothing,"
Zell offered. He knew why Zelos didn't use a last name, though he still didn't quite think Zelos was a real name either. Zell Goddess didn't think it was fair to name a child something like that. Poor kid. He'd feel sorry for him if he didn't have to deal with him all the time. Suddenly, visions of bottles of medication came unbidden to his mind, and he turned pale. After English, Zell walked alone to calculus. The tough lesson demanded and absorbed all of his energy, so he didn't have much time to think. Actually, he was rather avoiding thinking in general these days. It only made him sick or depressed. Meanwhile, Lena languished in trig. "Boring, boring, boring, boring," she sang to herself, drawing pictures of suns, princes, horses, gory battle scenes, and a very Genki self-portrait. "Boredom, boredom, boredom, boredom." Soon her mantra became a new tune, and the words began to evolve to,
where, oh, but life continues."
"Lena, what are you doing?" the teacher asked, fiddling with a whiteboard marker. "I'm expressing myself in a creative and joyful fashion, you old octopus," she yowled. There was a moment of silence while the words sunk in, and Lena sat, panting, on the desk she leapt upon in her rage. "Would you like to go to the office and share your creativity and joy with the principal?" "Well, not really, but I don't have much of a choice now, do I?" "Oh, well." Lena hauled her stuff down the stairs to the office on the first floor. On her way, she noticed for the first time all of the doors without room numbers or labels. Where did they all go? Were there really secret passages? And what about that bell tower? The hairs on the back of her neck began to rise. She knew it was silly to creep herself out over Zelos' loony stories. But still, the halls were very deserted, very quiet. The office loomed up in front of her. She swallowed her fear and slid in the door, humming her new tune so she wouldn't forget it. She coughed and leaned forward a little. But it was no use. The principal's face was lost in the shadows and haze from a burning cigarette. "Well, Miss Inverse, what brings you here this morning?" purred the lady's voice. Lena's throat constricted, making her voice high and tiny. "I was doodling in trig and called the teacher an old octopus." Zelos Metallium drew in a lung full of smoke, then let it out slowly. "Ah. And here I thought you were a smarter girl than that. After last year's antics with your friend Ms. Naga, things seemed to be improving. New friends?" Lena gulped. "How does she know so much about me?" Aloud she answered, yes, a few." "That's nice. Now, wouldn't you rather spend time with those friends than spending that time sitting in detention?"
"Yes, absolutely," said Lena.
"No, duh." "Good. Would you do something to help yourself, then?" "Of course you would. So here's what I ask. Write a short note of apology to your trig teacher. Get up to date on the assignments for your class, if you aren't already. And lastly, think before you insult someone who's trying to help you. Can you do that for me, dear?"
"Yes, no problem," nodded Lena.
"Very well, then. Just one more thing. How was Silgadis this morning?"
"Who? Zell? Same as always, I guess."
"And Zelos?"
"Goofy as ever. Why are you asking me about them?" asked a confused Lena.
"No reason, really."
"That's fine. You may go now,"
Zelos said, dismissing her with a flick of a hand. Lena left the office a bit shaken. Zell was right. That's one scary woman. "Well, I'm hungry. Is it lunchtime yet? Eh? No? Gah, I still have science. I'll never make it. So hungry." She drooped. "I'm starving. I can feel myself turning into a walking skeleton." "Well, can't have that, can we?" Lena fished her bag lunch out of her backpack gleefully. By the time she got to science, her lunch was more than half gone. Lena had hoped that science class would end soon. She glanced over at Zell. He seemed to be entranced with the lecture. Yawn. Zelos might have been asleep. He was resting his face down on his folded arms. Yawn. After this was lunch, and then a few more hours until tryouts. "Oh, yeah." The teacher paused in his endless droning.
"Yes, you are right when you agree, Lena Inverse, that the law of thermodynamics is unquestionably blah, 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 blah."
Whew, that was a close one, she thought. Lunch better come soon. Minutes later, she was joined in the lunchroom with her familiar crowd.
"Lena, did you forget your lunch?"
asked Gowri, dropping his customary trays on the table. "Nah, I got here a little early, that's all." Philia flounced in breathlessly, carrying her lunch and a heavy-looking tote bag brimming with books. "Lena, so what did the principal do to you? Must have been bad if you're not eating." All eating stopped, and curious eyes riveted upon the petite redhead who was more interested in Gowrie's tray of food than answering the question.
"Nothing much, and I just came here and ate early."
Silphiel cried out, insisting for more details.
"You got sent to the principal's office? If that happened to me, I'd just be sick."
And now Val, Zell, and Zelos were interested too. Gowrie was busy trying to keep Lena's sneaky fingers off his food.
"Listen, I have to apologize for smarting off to the teacher, okay? No big deal. Except that..."
"Yes?"
Silphiel prompted. She asked how Zell and Zelos were doing. Kinda odd. "And yes, she's creepy, so let's drop the subject, okay?"
Not okay, thought Zell. Who knows what Zelos was thinking? His smile grew the tiniest bit tighter.
"Miss Philia, could you move your book bag a little? I can't move my feet,"
asked Amelia politely.
"Of course, I thought you'd be interested in seeing my school yearbooks,"
Philia said brightly. She heaved the first three onto the table.
"Here's my fifth grade graduation picture."
She paused for the oohs and ahs to diminish.
"And my fourth grade class."
"Hey, Philia, do you have older ones?"
asked Lena, triumphantly waving a stick of cheese she'd won from Gowrie.
"I brought them all."
"Let's see the oldest. Maybe Val's in one," Lena suggested.
"I never thought of that,"
Philia cried excitedly, yanking the bottommost book out and thumbing through the pages.
"You are a year older or so."
"I didn't live near you."
"Not when you were very young, but later, even though your mother didn't stay with the clan, you may have bused to my school. You said you don't remember that time, just long bus rides. It won't hurt to try. Oh, here I am in kindergarten. Yeah, I know, little Goldilocks. So if we turn to the grade ahead..." "Val, look! What do you think?"
Val stuck his nose into the book. There was a picture of a thin-faced boy with green hair, and he was smiling, not smirking.
"Wow, that's me."
Philia grabbed the next books, frantically searching for more pictures, but no more were to be found.
"I'm sorry, Val. Looks like you were only there the 1 year. No wonder you don't remember much."
"Yeah, well, that's more than I knew before." He smiled a bit.
"Here," said Philia, handing him the book. "You keep this one. As you can see, I have plenty of pictures of myself."
Val held the book, flipping through the pages.
"Thanks. I will. Maybe some of the pics will spark my memory. Hey, Lena, want to see the best-looking kid in kindergarten?" Oh, joy. Now he's got something else to show off besides tattoos, grumbled Zell, a bit peeved at having Philia dredge up Zela's thoughts.
Zelos, ready to stick his foot in his mouth for fun, chortled,
"You're not still upset about your picture with the heart drawn around it, are you?"
Gasps. Lena was about to drive her fist through his smiling visage when Silphiel burst into nervous laughter.
"Oh, that! It was a silly thing for me to do, I know. Do you remember, Lena? A group of us girls were, you know, writing in each other's yearbooks when we decided to have a vote on who the cutest guys were? Of course you do. Don't sit there shaking your head now. Anyway, I don't remember who the runners-up were, but I drew a heart around the winner."
"Ah, Zell, a lady killer at 11, and you didn't even know it. And from the look on your face, I don't think you enjoy knowing it now. Oh, the horror. The horror." Val was on a roll. He was in a great mood, and perhaps a little of Zelos was rubbing off on him. He did have the wisdom to jump out of the way as Zell's beverage can flew at his face. "I'm leaving," Zell announced, and made good on his promise.
"Well, you can't blame me this time, Lena."
Zelos glowed.
"You brought it up, moron!" Lena screeched while slamming Gowrie's mostly empty lunch tray into the grinning kid's face.
"Ouch, that hurts," he whined.
"Serves you right," admonished Amelia.
You are also cruel to poor Mr. Zelgadas. You tease him when you know he's sensitive about his appearance. You embarrass him unmercifully, Miss Lena. It's a wonder he calls you his best friend. Mr. Val, you insult him. Mr. Zelos, you just tease him to his limits all the time and have a way of setting him off, whether you mean to or not. It's so unjust and mean-spirited. We must think of something nice to do for him, to make it up to him.
Well now, Amelia, there you've gone and spoiled all my plans for fun at the tryouts today, pouted Zelos.
I'm serious, shouted Amelia.
Me too, shouted Zelos, tossing his hair in an imitation of Philia. Now I'll just have to think of something else. And he took his leave of the lunchroom, seconds before the bell rang to end the period.
Oh, good. You're both here early, the computer lab teacher said. Zelgadas, how is the videotaping going? Zell had put the project on that handy brain back burner, where neglected plans simmer and deepen in complexity, or scorch beyond recognition.
The what? He panicked. He instantly whisked up the charred remains of the project and molded a semblance of order. The project? Yes, the hardware is working fine. We've gotten some headway on the...
That's all I needed to know. Thank you. I just knew I could count on you two to just dive in without my needing to prod,
smiled the teacher, who was walking over to another cluster of students. Zello smiled. Must be nice to be trustworthy, hmm? He said you too, didn't he? We've got the teacher's trust in this class, at least. Of course, it is your forte. Zell gave Zelos a rare smile. The purple-haired kid returned the smile. That's right. And I actually have tested out the camcorder, so if you want to see what I've done, you can keep honest and trustworthy. By the way, has your grandfather said anything to you about the other night? No, and I'd rather keep it that way. Oh, but by the way, what's the idea of sending me an email that's password locked? That day, when you yelled at me and stuff, going home, I wrote down some secrets to share. I changed my mind a few times and just deleted. Ho-ho, you must be kidding. Breaking encryption files is my specialty. This should be... No! Zelos interrupted. Please. It wouldn't be a good idea. Just delete it. I'll tell you the story another time. I promise. Zelos looked beseechingly at his friend. I'll think about it. Zell smirked. So they loaded the recorded images, mostly views of crows marching across the lawn, and began the onerous task of testing the software editing tools. Finally, the blessed bell rang, releasing the animals from their cages. Lena's crew was assembled at their lockers, laughing and chatting, except for Zelgadas. He had raced at demon speed from the computer lab to the play tryouts just to be the first in line. The drama teacher was ready and waiting to get going, too, so he was thrilled to have an equally enthusiastic student to begin with. Oh, this is wonderful! Let's get started immediately, then. First, what parts would you like to read for? Zelgadas, the teacher asked, while getting out a notebook, pen, and script. I thought Demetrius would do, Zell said. Yes, good choice, but I want everyone to pick two parts. Let's see, for you, let's try Theseus. No, Oberon and Lysander, too. Oh, joy, Zell thought, then asked, what would you like me to read? Start with Demetrius on page 25, and just go until I stop you. Zell read with a spark and energy for a page or so. Then the teacher asked him to switch roles and continue. Zell read for Oberon and Lysander. Thank you. Well done. I see more students are filtering in now. I'll see you in class tomorrow. Oh, yes. And callbacks will be posted outside the classroom tomorrow. Wednesday callbacks. More kids here for tryouts? Yes, come on in. Let's get going. Now, you are... Zell picked up his things and left to sort through his books at his locker. He ran into Lena and co. outside the room. Changed your mind, Zell? Taunted Val. Nope, all done, Zell snickered. No fair! So what did you try out for? Demanded Lena. Zell waited until Zellos had stopped chatting with Amelia, then said, Well, Miss Lena, I think that's a secret. Before he had to listen to all their groans and complaints, Zell tripped off to his locker. Everyone had a chance to read for at least two roles. Lena read for Helena, Titania, and Puck. Zellos read for the role of Puck also, and Lysander and Demetrius. Amelia tried for Helena and Hermia, Philia for Titania and Hippolyta, Val for Demetrius and Oberon, Gowri for Aegeus and Bottom, and Silphiel read for the parts of Hermia and Helena, like Amelia. A dozen or more other kids waited their turns to try out for a role in the play. By 5:30, the last of the students was gone. Lena and her friends were tired and left one by one as soon as they had finished. Philia, however, knew she would miss her bus, so she waited for a ride from Amelia. They all knew that the results for the callbacks would be posted the next day, and that they would all talk about it at that time.